must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. These fundamental things apply. Gaze straight or by.
Here comes the bride and the groom.
It's not a religion thing, it's an equal rights thing.
I didn't think I would be so emotionally affected by this.
Gee, I really love you and we're gonna get married.
We have people in line right now from Baltimore and Chicago. There's a couple that just got in, one this morning from Washington, D.C., drove out the last day and a half. That's extraordinary.
I now pronounce you spouses for life.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A Spanish co-mom gains court approval, but Australian adoption opponents attack. Canadian Supremes delay their advice on marriage equality, while San Francisco just marrieds shake things up. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 21st, 2004. Spain has its first legally recognized same-gender co-parent, as a judge in Pamplona approved a lesbian's co-adoption of her partner's twin girls. The couple have lived together for 7 years, and the twins, conceived by artificial insemination, were born last year. The family lives in the Spanish state of Navarra, which offers some legal recognition to gay and lesbian domestic partners. The state legislature had acted in 2000 to extend adoption rights to them, and this week's court action put that new law into effect. Reportedly, Aragon and the Basque region are now drafting bills to open adoptions to same-gender couples, while Catalonia's state government announced this month it will be moving to upgrade a current law that gives gay and lesbian couples the lesser legal status of lodging children. While parental status for a couple is new, individual gays and lesbians can adopt children anywhere in Spain. Repeated multi-party efforts to create national legal standing for Spanish same-gender couples have so far all been defeated by the ruling Partido Popular.
The Australian Capital Territory's newly passed first-in-the-nation law opening adoptions of unrelated children to gay and lesbian couples is under attack. The Territorial Liberal Party, which vigorously opposed the move, has asked Australia's Attorney General to review the new ACT measure's compatibility with federal law, the national constitution, and international conventions. The Liberal Party serves as the opposition in the ACT, but leads the ruling coalition nationally, and its Prime Minister, John Howard, has publicly opposed the ACT adoption measure. Although it's rarely used, the Australian Parliament has the power to overturn territorial laws, as it did when the Northern Territory attempted to legalize medically assisted suicide in 1997. The federal parliament does not have that same power over the six Australian states. The Australian Christian Lobby is also urging the Australian government to strike down the ACT law and to review the Tasmanian and West Australian laws recognizing same-gender couples. In the state of Victoria this week, some 300 gay and lesbian couples participated in a mass commitment ceremony as part of Melbourne's annual Midsummer Pride Festival and to protest their lack of federal recognition in Australia.
A commitment ceremony was also held last week by six gay and lesbian couples at Auckland's annual Big Gay Out Festival before some 1,000 spectators. The action was intended to demonstrate support for a civil unions bill to be introduced this month in the New Zealand Parliament. Prime Minister Helen Clark told the festival crowd that she supports the move and believes a majority of the Parliament will too, although she expects members will be free to vote their consciences.
In Canada, where the number of licensed gay and lesbian marriages has now passed 16,000, it's now official that the federal enactment of marriage equality will be further delayed. The Supreme Court of Canada has moved its hearing on related questions submitted by the federal government from April to October. The Liberal government had requested the delay after submitting an additional question in the wake of Paul Martin replacing the retiring Jean Chrétien as prime minister. While the government did not appeal provincial court rulings for marriage equality in Ontario and British Columbia, it has sought the advice of the nation's highest court before submitting marriage legislation to the federal parliament. In an ironic turn, the Canadian government is also delaying its earlier move for divorce law reforms, since legislation to open marriage to gays and lesbians will also require changes to the divorce statute. The same-gender marriages performed so far have no option for dissolution under current Canadian law.
In the U.S., what the San Francisco Chronicle dubbed marriage mania continued in that city by the sea. More than 3,500 gay and lesbian couples have married over the last week and a half, with licenses issued at the behest of Mayor Gavin Newsom. On Valentine's Day alone, several hundred couples had to be turned away simply because of overload for the clerk's office, which is now requiring that appointments be made in advance by phone. The lines seem likely to continue for a while, as two trial court judges have now rejected requests from religious right groups for immediate court orders to stop the licensing. Those groups' two cases have now been combined and will be heard at a later date. San Francisco has now filed its own lawsuit against the state to uphold the marriages, maintaining it's an issue of equality protected by the state constitution.
California's new Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, has stepped in, declaring that San Francisco is violating state law by issuing the licenses and ordering Democratic Attorney General Bill Lockyer to take immediate steps to halt that. Schwarzenegger expounded on this theme to cheers at the state convention of his Republican Party. But Lockyer, a likely future gubernatorial candidate, seemed in no great hurry, though he noted that he must respond to San Francisco's lawsuit against the state within 30 days and promised to defend the state law vigorously there. But his office also sees no threat to public safety in the San Francisco marriages that would require an immediate shutdown, and he called on all sides to tone down the rhetoric. While announcing that the Attorney General's office will be seeking a judgment against the city, Lockyer's spokesperson told the Los Angeles Times that Schwarzenegger can direct the Highway Patrol, he can direct Terminator 4, but he can't tell the Attorney General what to do.
Gay and lesbian couples were also briefly obtaining marriage licenses and wedding this week in Sandoval County, New Mexico. County Clerk Victoria Dunlap decided to go ahead and issue licenses, based on the county attorney's opinion that the state did not clearly prohibit it, and that denying them might create liability for the county for sex discrimination. At least 25 same-gender couples quickly obtained licenses in Bernalillo, some of them marrying immediately while scores more signed up on a waiting list. But then State Attorney General Patricia Madrid stepped in with a legal opinion that the licenses were invalid under state law and ordered the county to stop issuing them. Couples left waiting were angered and disappointed. The Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund is working with some of those who did marry to try to gain legal standing for them.
Many U.S. state legislatures continue to debate marriage equality, most striving to erect ever higher barriers to legal recognition for same-gender couples. But although marriage equality is dominating discussion in the U.S., there are reasons to recall that gays and lesbians still lack basic civil rights protections at the federal level and in 37 states. This week, the Washington State House approved by a 20% margin a bill to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation in housing, employment, and financial transactions. It will face an uphill battle in the Republican-controlled state Senate, though, which has defeated similar House-passed measures three times in the last 11 years.
And at the federal level, one new appointee of U.S. President George W. Bush has quietly removed all references to sexual orientation discrimination from materials for U.S. employees provided by the Office of Special Counsel, the agency tasked with protecting them should they complain of workplace violations. New OSC head Scott Block told the Washington Post that he acted out of uncertainty as to whether civil service law in fact protects lesbigays. This fails to explain why information regarding same-gender workplace harassment was also deleted, since the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized that it's actionable, even in private employment. Block says sexual orientation discrimination is wrong and that he was reviewing the matter, but that he didn't want to publish anything until that review is concluded. The larger Office of Personnel Management, more directly involved in handling civil service issues, has held for 20 years that lesbigays were protected under a general legal clause prohibiting discrimination on the basis of conduct which does not adversely affect the performance of the employee or applicant. And thus far, Bush has not rescinded former President Bill Clinton's 1998 executive order explicitly prohibiting sexual orientation discrimination against civilian U.S. government employees.
President Bush this week also bypassed the Senate to make a recess appointment of Alabama Attorney General William Pryor to the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Pryor has actively opposed equality for gays and lesbians, including filing a brief in support of the Texas sodomy law that was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court in June. He's the second of only six Bush judicial nominees opposed by the Human Rights Campaign to receive a recess appointment to a federal appeals panel, following Charles Pickering's appointment to the Fifth Circuit. On the 11th Circuit bench, Pryor is apt to be hearing the challenge to Florida's ban on adoptions by gays and lesbians. A three-judge panel of that bench upheld the ban last month, but the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, this week asked the court to reconsider it.
And finally, gay and lesbian marriages in San Francisco could make a difference on the other side of the world. Cambodia's revered constitutional monarch, 81-year-old King Norodom Sihanouk, is currently undergoing medical treatment in Beijing. That gives him a lot of time to watch television, including news reports from San Francisco. They inspired him to write in his daily posting on his popular website this week that, as a liberal democracy, I think that Cambodia must allow, if they desire, marriages between men and men, or between women and women. That would be a first for all of Asia. He also wrote that transgenders, known there as Kituis, must be accepted and well-treated in our national community. He asserted that he respected gay men and lesbians because it's not their fault what they are, for it's the good God who loves diversity of tastes and colors in species of humans, animals, vegetables, etc.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 21st, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK, Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
I think there's a queer sensibility, and I think that all sorts of people have it. I have known straight people with a queer sensibility. I think my own internal life as a young queer is the reason that I'm a storyteller. Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin, and you are listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, or for audio cassette subscription information, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
There was an earthquake of another kind in the city and county of San Francisco this week, generating aftershocks around the world. This Way Out's Brian Goble reports from along the marriage rights fault line.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom says his decision to offer marriage licenses to same-gender couples came the night he was attending the President's State of the Union address in Washington. He was an invited guest of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco, the Democratic majority leader. Newsom says the speech irked him.
The last 20 minutes of that speech I did not like, and I was frankly almost offended at some of the words and how debasing and targeted some of the president's comments were.
That statute protects marriage under federal law as a union of a man and a woman.
From that moment, I came back to San Francisco with a renewed sense of faith that this was a special place and we needed to do the right thing and uphold the Constitution, not only the United States, but the Constitution and the oath of office I took 39 days ago, the state Constitution, which is crystal clear, equal protection clause, that we do not have the right to discriminate against people.
Nearly a month later, Newsom consulted several key politicians. The openly gay congressman, Barney Frank, was one of them. He was embroiled in a battle over same-gender marriages in Massachusetts.
What the mayor told me was that he was not, I said I'd heard that he was thinking about this and was interested in my opinion, and I told him I thought it would be a bad idea to do it at that time, particularly because of the Massachusetts issue, where we had a vote pending, and while the vote was staved off, it's going to be coming again. What he told me was, this is on Tuesday, was that he wasn't planning to do marriages. He told me that what he was planning to do was to ask the legal people to tell him what steps would have to be taken to allow marriages.
And that is exactly what Newsom did in a request to the recorder assessor for the city and county of San Francisco, Mabel Tang. The next day, she announced the city had slightly revised the language of marriage licenses.
Those are revisions to the verbiage. We did not alter the form. It's the same form. We made some minor revisions to the verbiage.
I said very clearly that I was going to move expeditiously when I announced my intentions to review the forms and documents as it relates to our marriage certificates, and we reviewed it. You know what? Turned out not to be that complex, did it? Instead of saying bride and groom, you just say applicant one, applicant two. Frankly, we may have been able to do this yesterday, but it takes a little time to get the print dry, and we were able to do it this morning. I'm proud we were able to do it this morning.
The decision was immediately met with praise and excitement from many longtime San Francisco gay activists, including Supervisor Tom Amiano, a two-time mayoral candidate who lost to Newsom in a recent runoff election.
I think it's terrific, and certainly what happened in Massachusetts last week was very encouraging as well. And I appreciate the mayor taking that lead. Let's see what other cities do about this. But in the meantime, here comes the bride and the bride and the groom and the groom.
On the first day the licenses were issued, 87 couples tied the knot at San Francisco City Hall. Longtime activists Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin were the first to wed. As word began to spread, a line began to grow outside City Hall. By the next morning, it stretched for three blocks.
We didn't even go to the hotel to drop off the bags because I didn't know if people were going to, if there are going to be enough slots available today.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if there's legal challenges. We're still going to be together regardless. It's ceremonial. I mean, it's not a religion thing. It's equal rights thing.
I didn't think I would be so emotionally affected by this. I'm really shaking. And we've been together for 18 years.
I hope the whole world sees our marriage. I hope my relatives in Greece that don't know about us see our marriage and that they see that we love each other. And I just hope the whole world can see us as two people that are committed to each other, that are devoted.
With this ring, I thee wed.
By virtue of the authority vested in me by the state of California, I now pronounce you spouses for life. Congratulations.
Over the next several days, newlywed couples trickled out of City Hall. They were often greeted with cheers from those still waiting in line to get in. This couple came from Vallejo, north of San Francisco.
It's such an incredible political action and a personal action that it's just so amazing to be a part of it, you know.
What about the whole part that, you know, it may not be legally binding? We don't know what the judge is going to do or anything like that. I imagine that probably doesn't bother you at all.
No. In fact, the idea of it not being legally binding and being challenged in the court makes it all that much more appealing right now to just be a part of that time, you know, to really be a part of it. If it one day becomes legally binding, of course, that's what we all want. That's why we're here. But, you know, now it's about being a part of this kind of wave that's going on. So, yeah.
Lisa and I totally feel like we need to have a personal experience, so we're going to have our own ceremony at our own home. We've already been planning that. So we knew that we were going to get married. It was just a matter of doing it legally versus doing it in our own way.
By the close of business on the Friday before Valentine's Day, the city announced that nearly 700 couples had gotten married. To accommodate the crowd, Mayor Newsom announced City Hall would remain open on Valentine's Day and through the President's Day holiday.
Now we see people coming from all over the world. We have people in line right now from Baltimore and Chicago. There's a couple that just got in, one this morning from Washington, D.C., drove out the last day and a half. That's extraordinary, and it goes to the fact that people across this country are looking to San Francisco for leadership and looking for San Francisco as a model, an example for the rest of the nation. And I have a great sense of obligation in that capacity.
Over in the city's Castro district, many merchants say Valentine's Day business was booming. Brian Schockwaller was snipping a lot of flowers at Not Just Flowers on 18th Street.
It's been good business for the flower industry. The men have wanted boutonnieres, matching boutonnieres. The women the same. They also wanted boutonnieres. Small little hand, you know, nosegays. And also celebration flowers for parties afterwards. There was a couple in here that had been together for 15 years, two guys, and one of the gentlemen was going to be deported. And so they wanted to get married before he had to go back to the Philippines. So they did that, and they came in and got some flowers and went off and got married and came back and drove by and honked their horn. There's been a lot of horn honking in the Castro.
On the streets of the Castro, the opinions were strong.
When you start talking about things like the Defense of Marriage Act, as though heterosexual marriage is going to be, you know, assaulted in some way over this, that it, the value of it is and the stability of it is going to be, you know, undermined and attacked for this kind of thing. It's crazy.
We are human beings just like they are, and we deserve to be married if we love somebody. And we own a house together, and we've been together, and we're in love, and we
so
deserve
it's
it just,
good to be here
just like
day.
Anyone else.
What's to say, a straight guy says, you know, I've been married to my wife for 22 years, we've been happy, we've had children, we're wonderful, and now these two gay guys are getting married and they're ruining it. Like, is that an adequate response?
The news that San Francisco was issuing marriage licenses to same-gender couples reverberated throughout the world. Opponents claimed San Francisco was violating the law. From President Bush...
I'm troubled by what I've seen.
...to California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It is time for the city to stop traveling down this dangerous path of ignoring the rule of law.
Even some Democrats and unlikely opponents criticized the mayor's action. One of them was Congressman Barney Frank, who worries that the publicity in San Francisco will bolster a push in Congress to pass a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between a man and a woman.
There are some members of Congress who are in the middle. There are members of Congress who want to vote with us against this amendment but are afraid politically. Now, people said, well, don't you wish they would defy that? Yeah, I wish a lot of these. I wish I could eat more and not gain weight. I wish I had the same energy level at 63 that I had when I was 40. But I don't, and I have to live with reality. And I am afraid that this happening in San Francisco now is going to mean no real legal gains for people here and will be used politically against us.
Here's my tentative. I've considered everything.
In court, attorneys for the California Campaign for Families and the Alliance Defense Fund tried but failed to convince two separate judges to put an immediate stop to the marriages. Clyde Wadsworth, a lawyer who represents the Lambda Legal Defense Fund and the National Center for Lesbian Rights, is helping the city defend itself in court. He does not see San Francisco's action as an act of civil disobedience.
Our position is that that this is an entirely justified move by the mayor that's supported by the state constitution. Civil disobedience implies that it's an illegal action and that the mayor is, you know, purposefully breaking the law. But that's not what this is. The mayor is enforcing a higher authority, which is the equality guarantee of the state constitution.
Separate, you would, homosexual, lesbian, and gay from the
Back at San Francisco City Hall, it is day number 8 of the city's same-gender marriage spree. Outside the courthouse, just across the street from City Hall, a group of loud protesters has gathered to voice their opposition and draw the attention of TV cameras. Across the street, a group of counter-demonstrators tries to steal the attention. Inside the courthouse, a judge is hearing another legal challenge and later refuses to issue an injunction.
Hi, my name is Terry Stewart. I'm Chief Deputy City Attorney, and this is my colleague Bobby Wilson from the Howard Rice Law Firm. We consider today's ruling a victory. It's our third victory in the state courts. The anti-gay groups brought two lawsuits because they wanted two bites at the apple in the trial court, and neither bite served them very well. They lost on their request for a temporary restraining order, and so we're happy that the court is going to hear the merits of those issues, and that the court did not, in the meanwhile, stop the city from allowing gay marriages to happen.
Back at City Hall, there is jubilation that the marriages will go on. This woman flew all the way in from Louisville, Kentucky.
I never thought something this huge would happen in my lifetime, and I feel like it's a really huge step forward. And there's going to be, you know, some backlash, of course, but I think in the end, once all the legalities are worked out, I think we'll be in a better position. So, you know, you just have to take the chance.
As if they knew, today's the day. We'll say I do, and we'll never be lonely anymore. Because we're going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married.
For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, oh, but just.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Fenceberry, Rex Wagner, Ross Stevenson, and Brian Gobo contributed program material. Thanks also to KCBS Radio, KPIX-TV, Paul Jaffe, and J.D. Doyle. The Kinsey Six and Jackie DeShannon performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. We need you to help keep this program on the air and get some exclusive thank you gifts in return. For all the details, please log on to thiswayout.org. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KEOS College Station, Texas, CJSF Burnaby, British Columbia, WJSC Johnson, Vermont, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station, and we're counting on you to stay tuned.